task management and organizing things. It's kind of like a fun brain puzzle. We said, begin with the end in mind. Let's work backwards. And just like a little brain puzzle, let's figure out all the steps that need to happen before. So we have a map and we have a plan on how to get there.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have on our guest, Flavia from California, beautiful San Diego. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. It's so good to be on with you today, Brad.
So we talked and you mentioned transitioning from working these crazy long hours at a law firm as an attorney to starting your own law firm. Can you share the pivotal moment when you realized the need for a more balanced and happier approach to your career?
I can. I know not many people know, looking back, what some of these pivotal sort of life-changing moments are. For me, it's pretty easy because it was physically painful and very, very scary. I was 7 months pregnant. And for anyone who's doesn't know much about pregnancy, I will tell you that's about 2 months away from the big day, right? You look at someone 7 months pregnant, their belly's pretty big, they're getting there, but they're not quite at that point where people are asking them like, oh, are you about to have this baby? So I didn't really expect the baby to come, but sometimes life just has its own path for you. And I went into early labor. And by early, that's 2 months early. So that's quite a bit. And I remember at the time, I was a super busy lawyer. I had been sort of planning ahead for taking a maternity leave that wouldn't have started for another month and a half or so. And so I didn't really have everything gelled and lined up and ready to go. So when I rushed to the hospital and didn't leave the hospital for 26 full days,
because
I had the baby and she had to be in what's called the NICU, you know, like intensive care for babies, hooked up to monitors and all these, everything. Feeding was happening through little tubes. I mean, this baby was 3 pounds, 13 ounces. So like a little teeny tiny babe. I basically dropped off the face of the earth. People didn't really see me for 26 days. Hospitals have notoriously terrible Wi-Fi. I didn't want to leave the hospital. I wanted to stay by her side. So I just dropped off the face of the earth. And all the things you think about, like how important you are at work and how much it rests on your shoulders and how much people depend on you. And if you just have or forced to kind of drop it. And I've been going through the slow process of, okay, I got to like assign my tasks month from now. I got to make sure people are covering for me. But when you just do it unexpectedly, you one, and this is kind of an ego deflator, you realize how kind of unimportant you were at work. You thought you were important. Everyone's relying on you. You weren't. You're replaceable in so many aspects, but I was not replaceable at that NICU bedside to my family, my friends. Like that's where you're not replaceable. And that's where your real connection and kind of the value of life is there, not sitting in front of my HP at work. Got to do a little plug for Mac. Now that I have my own law firm, I can just use Apple products. Everyone has their like favorite, right? But I was sitting there at my PC as a lawyer and those days were instantly sort of behind me. I never really got back into it after that. That was life-changing. I realized the only way I really made money while stuck in that hospital was through my passive investments. I was big into real estate investing. And so rental income still came in because that didn't need my day-to-day supervision. I had written some books. I had some royalty income from different sources. So I definitely still was able to make a living, but I could no longer work trading hours for money. And that's when I realized I've got to make some changes. I can't be this full-time lawyer for the rest of my life. I'm going to need to be there for my family. I'm going to need to build up other ways to make an income that provide more freedom.
Do you think the stress of working long hours had any impact on your daughter being born prematurely?
Possibly. The doctors never figured it out. It could have been genetic. I mean, one of her cousins was born 2 months early, so it possibly could have just been kind of programmed in the genes. It could have been due to stress. It could have been something I ate. It's hard to know because at first I thought it was indigestion when the pains kind of started. But you'll be glad to hear that she's perfectly healthy and came through it with no adverse effects health-wise. So very blessed because of that.
So that's beautiful. That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. I just put a banner up on the screen that says life happens for you. So this is another example, in my opinion, I don't know how you feel, of life happening for you. This event, which could have been bad and thankfully wasn't, turned out to be an eye-opener that, hey, what is really important to me in my life are those connections that I can't get at work. It's my daughter, it's my husband, it's my loved ones, right? So do you believe that this happened for you to kind of wake you up and show you that, hey, there's something more to life than working long hours?
I think so. I'm a believer in that too. In some ways felt meant to be even at the time. We definitely made the best of it. My mom moved into the hospital with me. This hospital was really helpful. They gave us a room, like basically a kind of a hospital room that we could just use as our mini apartment while my daughter was in the NICU. And we would just go down the hall to visit her and back to our room and down to the hospital cafeteria to eat. And it was an interesting time for my mom and I too. We're very close, always have been, but we really got to sort of struggle in this together. My husband at that time was stationed in the Middle East. In a war zone, so there was no phone call. All communication was via email. And to hear via email that your daughter's born, and yes, you did the math right, it's 2 months early, it's quite shocking. I'm sure it was for him too, and quite a moment.
I've read a lot of stories about women. I don't know why women, it's just in the books I'm reading that focuses on women having cancer. And they say that they actually are so thankful that they had cancer because it woke them up. Just like this premature birth woke you up, the cancer woke them up, because there's a lot of really smart people, and even some of the greatest cancer institutes believe that stress fuels cancer. They haven't come out and said it causes it, but I promise you there's a lot of really smart people who have been doing this for 40, 50 years that truly believe that the stress causes cancer. So yeah, when you are going through a tough time, which you think is a tough time, could you look at a different way and maybe say, hey, this is happening for me? I look back at some of the things in my life, not some, so many things that I thought were terrible. Oh my God, the world is falling. The sky is falling. I can't believe this happened to me. And I look back and I'm like, thank the Lord that that happened to me.
Sometimes it is. And you don't always see it in the moment, right? Because we're human. So sometimes you're like, man, this is a horrible day. I wasn't running around joyful telling the world, my baby was born early. It's wonderful. You know, I mean, it's scary. And at the time, you don't know how it's all going to work out. So you're just sort of hanging in there. But yeah, when you look back, I made so many changes in my life because of what happened. And it's my life. I mean, it is my journey. Like, that was my experience. So it's not something to deny. I mean, it is traumatic. I won't lie. Even for anyone that's had like just a major medical issue or problem or an accident, like, you know, some sort of a car accident or something that happened to you, an emergency C-section for a preemie baby, it's also kind of a weird thing. And I guess my OBGYN had never prepped me for it, saying, hey, just in case you have a C-section, here's some things to prepare for. And they like strap you down on a table with your arms out, like straight out, almost like a crucifixion. Your hands are tied down, out, held out from your body. There's like screening put up, little curtains so you can't see what's going on down in your stomach area, which is good. I mean, I'm glad they didn't show that. And then you're awake and can hear them all talking amongst themselves. And it's a horrible trauma. People talk about like alien abductions and like how horrible it is. The memories of people who've been taken up in spaceships and like what happened to them up there, and whether it's real stuff or wasn't real. But this is right in line with one of those experiences of having
something. Well, I'm glad you made it through, and it sounds like you're stronger from the experience. So that is something to be thankful for. You mentioned that rental income in books helped you get through when you weren't earning income. What were the topics of the books? I'm just curious.
So this is like one of those where people are going to pause and rewind saying, did I just hear that right? I, for 2 years, was an NFL cheerleader, a professional cheerleader for a sports team here in my hometown. And it was a great time in my life. And then for several years after that, I worked behind the scenes. So I even directed some pro teams and worked on auditions and sports entertainment industry in general. Got to travel, got to go to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii a few years. You know, do the coordination, because there's a lot that goes into these big sporting events, and part of it's entertainment. And for that, I was wearing the little headset and running around and, hey, bring the cheerleaders here, let's get them over here, and did the whole thing. Super fun. So I would get asked all the time, hey, my cousin wants to make it on this NFL team. Do you have advice? And I would sit down with people and have coffee or do a phone call and give them all kinds of advice on how to do well at auditions. And I put all of that in a book. And then I ended up publishing that book, and I still, to this day, help a lot of people.
That is so cool. So tell me one thing that no one would expect that's a big surprise about being an NFL cheerleader.
Well, one thing that's a big surprise, because there were even lawsuits over it, is that in general, they don't get paid very much. So some people think, well, you're an NFL cheerleader, you're probably making some money. There were a bunch of lawsuits where cheerleaders alleged that they were being paid well below minimum wage, and that as employees, they're entitled to at least minimum wage, if not more. And some of the mascots make closer to like six figures or 60,000, whatever it might be. So the mascots get paid pretty well. Cheerleaders generally no. But wow, that was a fun time in my life, because personally, I got to be a spokesperson about the industry. I was on ESPN and then Wall Street Journal, I think, New York Post, like all the big media needed quotes from professionals in the industry. And I'm a lawyer who used to be an NFL cheerleader. So I got quoted left and right, was able to get some cool media opportunities. I was on BBC World News. I had to wake up at 2 a.m. because of the time difference to do a radio interview for BBC and you know, all that. It was a fun time.
That's awesome. So your adventurous spirit is truly inspiring. How do you maintain a sense of freedom while successfully managing three companies and being a mom? And how has this influenced your approach to entrepreneurship?
Question, because I don't know if it's that like attracts like, but I tend to hang out with a lot of entrepreneurs who are multi-niche, multi-passionate, and like to do different things. I'm the same way. One of my probably failings is that I don't say no often enough, and things sound interesting and fun, and I want to take them on, and I dive in. So my struggle in life is avoiding workaholism, right? And avoiding overscheduling, I'd call it these days. I don't think I'm in danger any longer of being a true workaholic. I may have been a workaholic back in the big law firm days where I was working 12-hour days. Now it's more of just overcommitment. That's my danger. And not having enough time, especially for my daughter, but my whole family. And work-life balance and delegation is important. I know we only have a short amount of time, but everything from how I do my to-do lists, I found it fascinating and fun to set up a really good system for task management for myself. And for me, the process of figuring out that system was actually really entertaining and like solving a puzzle. And then just using it now, it helps me so much in life. So I think just putting attention on it and being cognizant of the fact that we have to manage our time and our commitments and be able to do all the things that we commit to and say yes to. For me, that's a challenge, but also part of the fun.
So tell us more about your sense of adventure and the things that you do kind of on a whim.
Well, my husband was always big into motorcycles, and I would ride on the back of his motorcycle and had a blast doing that. I mean, I just think it's fun. And then one day I'm like, I would like to learn to ride a motorcycle myself, not on the back, but like ride the motorcycle. And he's a smart man. So he said, great, instead of me teaching you, your birthday's coming up, I'm going to get you lessons, because I don't want you crying it being me who is your coach. I'm going to have someone else teach you how to ride a motorcycle. And I did. I took this fun little class. I'll never forget my instructor. He wore this leather jacket, and you never forget your teachers, right? And I learned how to ride a motorcycle, got my, here in California, it's like an M endorsement on your driver's license.
Yeah.
And then we went out, we bought me a motorcycle. And then we would go out in the hills and the countryside, and we'd ride for hours and hours on the weekend. This is all pre-parenthood, but great time. So very spontaneous.
But didn't you tell me when we talked a couple of days ago that you do things on a whim a lot and just like pick up and travel or go do something fun?
Yeah, we really do. I mean, we have the advantage of, we're an aviation family. My husband's a pilot. So sometimes we are able to just truly on a whim, get up and go, just leave town and fly somewhere and explore. One trip we did on a whim, I had never been to Sedona, and everyone talks about Sedona and how sort of spiritual it is and the energy that's there. And we just decided on a whim, let's check out Sedona. It's not really that far away from where we live. And very few people have been to the Sedona airport, but it's up in a mesa. You actually land like basically on like a flat mountaintop, and just the reddish hue of all the mountains there and the food, the people, so much fun. So yeah, we do things like that.
I've been to Sedona one time and I love it. So we're going to talk next about how you manage these multiple companies and do it, because I think your superpower is in organizing all of this stuff and maintaining it. But before we go there, you have a podcast as well. Tell us about your podcast and who should be listening and where they can find it.
Sure. It's available everywhere, all the major podcast locations. Most people listen to it on Apple Podcasts, but it's on Stitcher and all the rest as well. It is called Lifestyle Solopreneur. And it really speaks to that entrepreneurial spirit where people want to own their own business, control their own time. But we focus on keeping people sane while doing it. So again, entrepreneurship can be very demanding, especially for solopreneurs, because at the beginning of their companies, they usually wear all the hats. I mean, they're the everything. They do accounting and marketing and product creation and all of it. They're the spokesperson. They're the face of the company. And so it's really easy to start working 16-hour days and just never have a moment off. So we focus on that. Let's stay sane in an otherwise frenetic world, despite all the challenges of being an entrepreneur, and have a good time doing it. I have lots of great guests who come on and just share what they do and how they do it.
I'm an entrepreneur as well, and have been for 20 years, and I have two companies. And man, I couldn't imagine life any other way. So I can remember, 2003. It was October of 2003. I'd bought six houses. I think I'd flipped six houses and I had like 60 grand in the bank. And I think I was making $60,000 a year. And I came home and told my wife at the time, I'm quitting and I'm starting Express Home Buyers. And she's like, are you crazy? Like, we have a newborn child and I have two kids that we got to take care of. And I was like, everything will be fine. And we're not still married, but everything is fine. And here we are 4,000 houses later. And it's been an amazing journey. But like you said, it was not easy. Oh my gosh, the ups and downs and my trying to chase my worthiness got us into millions and millions of dollars of mistakes. But hey, here I am stronger and better and doing exactly what I love every day. So I know balancing two companies is no small feat. So balancing three companies is really no small feat. Could you dive deeper into your strategies for staying organized, avoiding burnout, and ensuring, most importantly, probably, that you maintain a sense of fulfillment in your work?
Yes, and that's so important too. And if I ever stopped feeling fulfilled in any one of those roles, I would stop, because we don't have time for that. We don't have time to do something that isn't fulfilling. We're all mortal, and we definitely, every single person has a limited time in this incarnation, right? In the life we live right now. So, well, let's go over what those are. So I'm a lawyer. And I used to work for a big, big law firm. I mean, the clients that I was helping were all household names, and I would help on real estate transactions and a few other areas of law, but mainly real estate. And I left to open my own shop where I'm just a solo lawyer. So I'm like a free agent, a freelance lawyer. And a lot of the work I do is for some of these clients that I used to help at the big firm, but they hire me directly for sort of smaller deals. And a lot of the work I do is for other law firms who just need an extra hand or expertise that I have that they don't have in-house. And they know me and they reach out to me and they're like, what's your availability? Do you want to take on this matter? So that's really just maybe 5, 10, 15 hours a week max on those kind of matters. And I get to be choosy. I get to pick who I want to work with and what I want to work on, which is not the case when you're the employee at a big firm. I mean, could you imagine as like a second year law associate, if your partner came in and said, I'd like you to do this lease. And he said, no, I don't feel like, I don't like that company, right? Yeah, I'm tired of leases this month. You can't do that. But I have all that full control. And I also do trust and estates, which is so wonderful area of law. You get to help people with their legacy planning and asset protection. And even just the planning you don't think about, it has nothing to do with assets. But like, if I get sick, who's going to make decisions for me? All of that I get to help people with. And then we have a property management company that manages rentals, a lot of furnished rentals, some unfurnished rentals, and that's local here in the San Diego area. And then I have a brokerage. There's six of us. And so it's myself and five agents, and we help people buy and sell real estate, mostly residential homes, although I'm in escrow right now on an office, but mostly broker homes that people live in.
So tell us more about your superpower, staying organized. You mentioned that when we talked a couple of days ago.
So before law school, well before law school, before I had a real estate license, I was a wedding coordinator. So my superpower was helping people create checklists and see the forest and see the trees and just stay really, really organized. So everything is very smooth on the day of their big wedding that they've been planning for a year or two. So I feel sometimes that for me, task management and organizing things, it's kind of like a fun brain puzzle. And I like to work backwards with like the end in mind. As Stephen Covey, you know, famous author, always said, begin with the end in mind. I like that mode of thinking. Like, if I want to end up here with like, this is what needs to happen, let's work backwards. And just like a little brain puzzle, like playing Tetris or something, let's figure out all the steps that need to happen before. So we have a map and we have a plan on how to get there. And once you have that, for me, it's so easy to do something like a big, complicated real estate transaction, because I just follow the checklist, follow the plan, and I'm no longer feeling kind of like thrown in the ocean or anything like that. I feel like it's pretty easy.
So is that what you do with all three of your businesses? You've just systematized them all. You've created procedures, you've created checklists. And so that if you hire someone and they're like, well, how do I do this? You just literally pull out the training manual and they can just walk through it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And one of my favorite ways to help delegate and to train your team is using screen share videos. Anything that you do on your computer, if you can just videotape yourself doing it and maybe doing a voiceover where you're talking about why you're making certain decisions on it, that video can then be used by someone else to replicate what you did. And so that's the easiest way to duplicate yourself.
And in addition to the video, do you also make like a written thing that someone, if they didn't want to sit down and watch the video, they could just like leaf through a booklet and see screenshots and whatnot?
Yeah, but I just love checklists. So most of that lives in the form of checklists. I love checking off boxes or crossing something off. So that's just a personal thing. Like, it gives me such a feeling of like accomplishment, I guess, to go through that. So I create lots of checklists that can be copied, duplicated, and run again. It also helps our clients, because I'll tell you, as real estate agents, like my team, we do all the things that some agents might not. I mean, we remind them about all the utilities need to be turned on, and did you pack, and did you do this, and all that, because we keep track of it and we're able to remind them.
So most entrepreneurs are visionaries, right? Or at least I think there are. At least there's more visionaries than, say, like your operator integrator. And I know entrepreneurs really struggle with this. I read a book, one of the first books I ever read when I started my company 20 years ago was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And it was all about systematizing your business. Whether you're going to open one store, you should open it like you're going to open 5,000. And it just does everything you said, like just systematize everything. And I think, because I could probably put myself in this bucket, that most entrepreneurs overcomplicate this. Like, it's not that hard. If you don't have employees, then you do it. You just write it. If you do have employees, incentivize them. Give them cash or something to say, hey, for the next 3 days, I want you to write down everything that you possibly can do. So do you kind of agree that entrepreneurs overlook that and complicate it, and therefore that's part of the reasons their business may be in chaos?
Yes. And it's part of that ego question, right? Like, how I had this just face my own ego when I realized that the law firm, I was completely replaceable. It was not as big of a bombshell that I had to go to the hospital for a month because some other people did my work. I think for entrepreneurs, we feel we are very important because we came up with this business and idea, and it's ours, and we know how it should be done. And it's very hard to kind of come to the realization that, you know, just because you had the idea doesn't mean that you have to keep doing it all. Like, you really can create a company that can run without you. And that's hard for the ego sometimes.
What is your definition of happiness?
When I feel truly happy is usually when I have a combination of sort of enthusiasm for the future, like I'm excited about what's to come, and peace. Like, I'm feeling at peace with whatever the situation might be. Nothing's ever perfect in that like stereotypical sense of the word, right? Life is messy. There's stuff going on. There's know what it might be. Like right now, we just had a pipe burst in a wall. And so we're like dealing with all of that. But I'm still in a very happy place, despite sort of the daily things that we're dealing with and having to take care of, because overall, we know what's important. The family is key for me. Loved ones, family, spending time together. So as long as all of that is going well, everything else is just kind of the details.
Love it. Love it. So wedding planner, turn NFL cheerleader, turn attorney, turn real estate investor. Sounds like there's a movie in there.
All right. No one would watch it because they wouldn't know how to market this movie. It'd be like, here's just your lady and her story. I don't know. Life's kind of like, do you have in your region like 31 Flavors ice cream stores? Like, you go in and...
Yeah, Baskin Robbins.
I don't know if they just have 31 flavors or not. I've never actually sat there and counted, right? But most places have a whole variety of ice cream flavors you can choose from. And I see life like that. Like it's this endless buffet of things you can do and places you can go and even like jobs you can try on and do, you know. Those haven't been my only jobs, believe it or not. But the ones that have stuck were being a lawyer. I love being a lawyer. I like being a transactional lawyer. I'm not about litigation. I don't like the fighting. For me, it's all about helping people make deals, not fight over them. So I've stuck with that. And so I do have variety, but at some point, some things I try and I let go. I no longer plan people's weddings for them. I can barely attend weddings because I'm looking around like, oh, do they need help over there? Like, someone should bring out the paper. Like, I want to make sure they're doing their job. So it's hard to just sit back and enjoy them as a guest. But I've let go of a lot of things in my life too. And that's important.
Beautiful. How can people reach you, Flavia?
So yeah, connect with me. I mean, obviously I could give you like 5 or 6 websites for the real estate, the law, everything else. But if someone wants to just go to Barris.com, which is my last name, Berys.com. Barris.com takes you directly to my LinkedIn profile and let's connect and let's be friends. And you can also message me through there as well.
Awesome. Berys.com. If you want to connect with Flavia. And what did I not ask you that, or where do you want to leave the listeners with that you think would be really important when it comes to the topic of this, how to be happier for entrepreneurs?
I'm so glad that happiness is a topic of conversation. Because I think there was a time in life where everyone was just focused on survival, you know, feeding yourself and making money and providing for your family. And focusing on happy may have seemed kind of frivolous in some cultures or some time in our history too. But now it's considered a legitimate goal. And I love it. So just for being here, all of us, let's just celebrate that we live in a time where it is truly one of the important missions of life to find and hold on to happiness. And let's celebrate that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Flavia. If you like the show, could you please give us a quick rating and review? That would really help spread this message of happiness for entrepreneurs and for the whole world. And until next time, remember, love does heal all. Thanks, Flavia.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.